Now, on today's program, this dreadful listener request month continues with another wretched, wretched horror sequel. It's I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer. Good God. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in to the fine program. As always, like we said above the theme song, we're talking I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer from 2006, directed by Sylvain White.
And this is a movie that wasn't even worthy of doing on a Tuesday. That's why it's coming out on a Thursday. You know what I mean? You're not a Tuesday movie. You're totally a Thursday movie.
It is awful. So before we get into it, we got a credit. Who's to blame for this? This is Daryl from Washington. He had this to say.
Daryl from Washington State. I'm calling a request 2006's I Will Always Know What You Did Last Summer, a garbage sequel that has nothing to do with the first two and would probably work better as an Urban Legend sequel. And if you don't do this, I'll have to wait next year for your 10-year rule to request the epic-long piece of shit, Mr. Nobody. Don't make me request Mr. Nobody, or I'll know what you didn't do last March.
Yep. So here we go. This movie shouldn't have been an I Know What You Did movie, right? No. This should be
the Ididiverse. Let's just establish
the Ididiverse. That's very true. It should not have been part of the Ididiverse. I guess originally, like, they were trying to get Brandy, Freddie Prinze, and Jennifer Love back to do this movie. What a shock that fell through.
Had Ghost Whisperer already stormed the gates?
Ooh. Oh, by 2006, that's a good call, Chris. Sure.
Wait, was the client list happening yet? Or?
No, this is pre-client. But yeah, they, you're right. This is probably Ghost Whisperer territory. And I wonder, because this movie had to have been filmed in Toronto or around Canada, right? I'm smelling Canada.
I thought this was shot in purgatory.
Ghost Whisperer started in 2005, by the way.
Okay, that makes complete sense.
But this movie is set in Colorado. So, I mean, I don't know where it's shot necessarily, but I just think it's insane that they moved from, what was it, like...
Like South or North Carolina?
Yeah.
To Colorado with the fishermen in a landlocked state.
Well, I mean, it doesn't...
We're in the mountains
now. It will make sense, Eric, when you find the twist at the end.
Right. And by the way, do not tweet at me that you have rivers.
Yes, shut up.
I'm aware.
With your rivers. Oh, and you know what? If you're going to tweet about lakes, we got that covered.
Here's the thing. This should be called, I Know What You Did Last Summer. I'll Always Know What You Do Last Summer. Colon,
yes.
Cold, cold summer. It looks freezing, this entire movie.
It really does. By the way, just to confirm, this was filmed on location in Utah.
It's set in Colorado.
That's correct. Which also, just set it in Utah. Yeah, like, it doesn't matter.
Is Colorado a sexier fucking at this time?
Yeah, I think so.
It didn't have it legal yet, so I don't know.
It doesn't matter, dude. There is nothing less sexy than Utah.
See, listen, it's name recognition, because you say Utah, everyone's like, oh, the Mormons. And now that I know this was filmed there, and I'm remembering the looks of all these kids in this movie, I'm like, holy shit, it was a Mormon colony.
Yeah.
And also the names, Colby?
No, dude, the names in this movie are fucking awful.
Colby?
You said it in Utah.
Colby?
And it's, you said it in Utah, and it's Karl Malone stalking Michael Jordan after the summer of 97. You know what I mean? I Know You Did Last Summer, you butchered us in our own home state. So now Karl Malone is leaving the entire Chicago Bulls letters.
Hey,
I love this.
Better movie, and honestly would fit better in the Ididiverse.
Absolutely. That's true. Who's scarier than the mailman? The answer is no one.
That's true. And you could call it I Know What You Did Last Season.
Yes, yes. Yes. Oh my God.
Now check this out. I just pulled up this fucking cast list to peep these character names. And it totally fits with the Cletus bit from The Simpsons. Watch this. Come on, Amber, Colby, Zoe, Lance, Roger, PJ, Kim, Kelly, Mitch. Good God!
Yeah, it's a white film, that's for sure.
Jesus. So we are introduced to a new group of teens. I will give this movie one thing. One thing alone I will give this movie. Mm-hmm. As I've mentioned on the air throughout the years that we've been doing this show, one of my big things that I'm a sucker for is a
child death?
No. Well, yes, most definitely child
death. But it's
death.
Not in this film.
Not by a long stretch. We could have used some of that. No, if you are like a resort town in the off season, oh, I like that. Nice and quiet. That's where I want to have my radio DJ job.
Well, you know what that's just like. Utah. But, all of Utah.
But set it in the winter. Like, let's, if yes. it's, I know, I'll always know you did last summer, ski season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Ice fisher.
Mm-hmm. Set in the, during President's Day weekend, maybe?
No, like, you know sure. I mean?
Guys, this is what it is. They're being terrorized by ice fishermen. And who is playing the ice fishermen but Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau?
It's like Kiss the Girls. They go back and forth.
I'm going to get you with my hook hand.
Of course, it's got to be two goddamn killers. All right.
So yeah, this new group of teens, it's the summertime and
let's go get these sexy teenagers.
Never seen a hook this big.
No, that's too sexy.
The teenagers are Sophia Loren.
and Margaret.
Yes.
So these teens, they're at a sexy carnival because it's the off season. It's like a summer carnival type thing.
It is the 4th of July.
Which, oh, that's right.
Which does carry over, at least, I haven't seen the second one in forever. Maybe you've never seen this. I'll always know what you did last.
Were you not on the episode?
I was not.
I still know what you did.
I still know.
This is the one where they go to the Caribbean.
Yes, with Jack Black and Brandy.
Yes. Yeah.
But I don't know if I saw that one. Was that over 4th of July as well?
No, I think they're like it's summer because they're like done. They're done with the semester. I think.
Well, they're taking a vacation. Like the whole thing is they get a vacation away.
Oh, it's like they win a vacation
over the phone in a fucking radio contest. No thanks.
Wow. What are the odds that you'd be terrorized by killers and win a... Oh, wait, that's right. The killer set up the radio contest. Damn.
Well, and it's also like Club Paradise. Like, it's all like nobody's there. Nobody's working. It's just a shitty place. And even that piece of shit is so much better than this.
Oh, Club Dread? Guaranteed. And I hate Club Dread.
No, I still know what you did last.
Oh. Name. Yeah. You know what? Name a movie. It's better than... Like, just any old movie you want to name.
Ultraviolet.
Ooh. Better than this movie.
Whoa.
No. Yes.
You know what? I will give Ultraviolet maybe the edge for it's got at least a visual style. It's not good.
It's right. Got but people this, that I've this seen is like, in other things.
This movie shot at night in a parking lot.
It's just the cheapest DV camera that I've ever seen.
It's not.
Really?
Dude, it was shot on 35. Because I'm looking at it, and I was like, they put like a fake film grain filter on this. And I looked it up. Nope. Apparently, at least according to the IMDb, they shot this on 35 millimeter.
Wow.
Also, I don't know. I don't know if I entirely buy that, but that's at least what the old Tribune's telling us.
Also, according to the IMDb, this guy, Mr. White, went on to have a real career, which astounded me.
It is. He's directing a movie that's coming out this year. Do you know what that is?
Yes, I do.
The Slender Man. He's going back in the horror genre.
But he also did 2010's The Losers, I didn't see, with Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Chris Evans and Zoe Saldana.
Avoid.
So, I mean,
he did Stomp the Yard. That's the movie he did after this. And then a shit ton of TV.
Including The Americans and other television programs.
An episode of that fucking dreaded Lethal Weapon, MacGyver, a bunch of episodes of that dreaded Hawaii Five-0.
But think about
episode of that dreaded Rush Hour, and
think
so
about
on.
His dreaded bank account.
Yeah, no, this dude's doing just fine.
You're talking Club Dread.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're having a carnival and we're telling scary stories Ferris wheel.
Yeah. Doesn't make any sense.
No one's ever done this. No one ever will do this. And the weird thing is the movie's like so inept. It takes you so long to realize who the cast is.
Yes.
Because it's a bunch of like, I mean, nobody's actually known. So you're not like, oh, that's Jennifer Love Hewitt. That's whomever.
Right.
It's just a bunch of like Abercrombie models in a Ferris wheel. It's like eight kids. And you're like, okay, I guess we're going to follow all these kids, but you haven't even met the whole cast yet.
Nobody knows who anybody. I mean, it's just like faceless white kids.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, in any other movie, this is like the first like gang that gets killed.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
we're following the detective. Right. Doing the, like, I genuinely thought that's what was going to happen because I'm like, I'm not watching these people.
I'm not watching.
Get me the fuck out here. I'm not watching these fucking people.
We've got a lot of time left with Colby.
Dude, this kid is so unappealing to look at.
I know. He's blonde in all the wrong ways, and it's just abhorrent.
How is he
one of the lead kids of this movie.
Yeah, he's the hunk.
He's like the Ryan Phillippe of this movie.
And you name him Colby.
And the problem is there's no Freddie Prinze really to like balance that game kid, I guess, is supposed to be.
I mean, you miss the acting prowess of Freddie Prinze Jr. and General.
Tell me! God! Couldn't be in the movie.
And I feel like the only thing, like, aside from this is very much like a spiritual sequel, like a lot of the same notes get replayed.
Oh, big time.
The one note that gets replayed and replayed and replayed is the cleavage. There is so much fucking cleavage in this movie.
It's outrageous.
Well, that's part of the Adidaverse. You need cleavage.
You want to talk about like the cameraman was like 7 feet tall. It's like Manute Bol was shooting this thing. It's always the angle is always down.
It's outrageous. And I said to my wife, I'm watching this movie. And, you know, it's just like the acting is so terrible. It's filmed so shittily, you know. I said, if there were hardcore sex scenes in this movie, this would be a 100% successful porno parody.
Oh, yeah.
If I saw like a fucking dick go somewhere, I would just be like, wow, look at this porno parody. What a good job.
The fisherman comes in. You see that slicker and it's like, oh, no, here comes the hook. Oh, wait. Whoa, my God. It's
dildo
a hook.
Hand. Yeah, honestly.
I was going to say a hooked penis, but yes.
Cut something out, a little
off.
Cut out the backstory. Cut out the musical numbers.
Oh, dude, there's an outright musical number.
This is primed for porn.
I know you did last summer three, primed for porn. So they're telling the story. This girl, Amber, who's the lead, who's blonde, is like literally...
She is... Now, this is what's interesting, though, as far as like spiritual sequels, because you definitely have Colby as like the Ryan Phillippe, but she... is the protagonist, but is definitely more the Sarah Michelle. There's no real Jennifer Love in this movie.
I mean, she's artsy-fartsy, kind of. She's taking photographs, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. She wants to move to Los Angeles.
Yes, and she tells the story of the first movie, or maybe even the second movie, one of the movies.
It's just the legend. It has really nothing. That's the thing, is they don't really bring up, like...
The first movie until later.
It's like what our dear friend Daryl said in his phone call. Like, this movie would be more appropriate as, like, an urban legend sequel.
Sure.
Because now, like, the hook hand story...
Well, the first movie does that too, right? The first one.
I guess you're right. Yeah, that's true.
But
it was localized. Yes. It was like, this is a local legend. Yes. And now, suddenly, we're telling local legends to the Carolinas in Colorado.
Just
make it all like the loggers coming or something.
Yeah, or like something about the Donner Party or something, right?
The Donner Party.
Where was the Donner Party? I don't know geography.
I don't know, but what does that have to do with anything?
Was it just the Sierra Nevada?
Yes, a spooky, scary story about...
That's a survival story.
But it's closer. Yeah, like Pa Donner's going to come.
Pa Donner.
And he ate the baby, mother.
Yes.
DJ Roger, and he was still hungry.
He's looking for Colby Dahmer.
Yeah.
So we go up to...
Donner, sorry.
We have these kids that are on the Ferris wheel. They tell the story, yada, yada. Then they're walking through the carnival, still kind of talking about this story.
Yeah.
And then like they get to one booth where like a dude they know is working, and it's like... the edgy kid of the group, I guess. And one of these guys from the Ferris wheel has just enlisted in the military.
He wasn't on the Ferris wheel. That's the thing. Like, I thought I knew what the crew is.
Oh, he wasn't?
There's like this Buck Cherry looking kid. I'm like, I guess he's a lead character, but he's actually an extra. Like, that's what this movie is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then like, I don't know, where this kid comes over on a skateboard who has just enlisted in the military. His name is by the name of PJ.
Right.
Or PJ.
Private Johnson.
Well, also because like they come off the Ferris wheel and they're coming out, and there's this guy at a game thing, and he just like starts like flirting with Amber,
yeah,
and I'm like, does he know her? Like, I genuinely was like, is that just some flirty asshole?
It's a small town, you know? Lance and Amber maybe went to grade school together. By the way, this dude's name is Lance.
He reminded me of the Johnny Galecki more so than Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah. Big time.
He starts off as Johnny Galecki, then he turns into Freddie Prinze Jr.
You're totally right. Wow.
But the deputy is Galecki.
Yes. Who is Galecki?
The deputy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he winds up being Galecki.
You're right, because that deputy is so horny for this
Oh,
teams.
My God.
Ew.
Oh, yeah, that guy's hard as a rock.
Kick through this
can
whole
I
movie.
Can I do anything for you? Can I help you?
So, he's flirting with her. She's, like, doing some field trips. Like, hey, can I go on that field trip with you? And she's doing that thing that she's with Colby. And he's like, your stud boyfriend over there is going to California. So you want to fuck or what? And it's like, dude, ew. Ew.
Well, I think to Lance's defense, right? He's like, I've seen this go down before. Long distance relationships. This is so stupid.
Blood in the water, man.
They are kidding themselves. And you know, he's just gonna move right in. He can see the writing on the wall.
You know what? Keep it to yourself. Let them learn for themselves.
Yes, exactly.
You don't need to be like, he's gonna be gone, and you're gonna be fucking me.
Well, he's not saying that directly to her, but he's trying to strike while the iron's hot.
I suppose.
And he's PJ's cousin, and PJ just enlisted in the military, and he's like, you're next to join the military, little bro. It's fucking 2006. That's where we're going.
Yeah, man, it's in our blood. It's only 2006. We're not tired of these wars yet. Fuck yeah.
Don't you want to be a citizen soldier like the song?
Like when we saw that NFL halftime show?
He rolls up his sleeve, Three Doors Down tattoo. Yeah. Show me yours. Show me yours, brother.
What's the matter? You haven't watched the propaganda?
So it's this weird, like, Colby's like, I'm going to step up and win my lady a little stuffed animal here. And she's like, you can't do it. And he goes something about, like, you know, if I win, you're crashing at my place tonight.
Yeah.
If I win you this fucking stuffed animal, man, it's a one-way ticket to fuck town.
No matter what now, you're contract.
Yeah, exactly.
You're under contract. You have an obligation now.
You know, Colby, I'm not really feeling it tonight.
Well, you just said. Well, I should have gotten a contract, you know?
Hey, I knocked all those cans down with this softball.
This monkey means nothing. This monkey means fucking bullshit.
Oh, man, she'd lose in Mountain Court, too.
Mountain Court.
Right after he wins.
Hairdy.
Now, you two had a verbal agreement, it looks right here.
Oh, seems to me by these documents, this matter was settled over a game of Bally Canny.
You owe him sexual intercourse and 3 pints of moonshine.
Maybe we'll just teach you from gambling on the Bally Candy in the future.
Mountain justice, dude. So immediately after, this dude is a terrible actor. Should not be shocking to anybody. Immediately after he wins the game, there's a really flat Happy 4th of July, babe.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh man, this script is terrible.
But then the fisherman cuts through a banner or something.
It's like a high school football team running through a fucking paper sign.
And you're like, what is this movie? And
it's terrorizing.
And he cuts the kid in the arm, Colby in the arm, and he starts terrorizing this carnival. These kids start running all over the place. PJ skateboards away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty righteous move.
And he starts skateboarding all the way up this, like, I don't know, looks like a fucking parking lot.
It was like a parking garage kind of a situation.
Yeah, an above-ground parking garage. And, like, the fisherman chases him. The kids run one way. PJ winds up doing a trick off of the...
He goes up a parking garage or something? What is this thing?
Mm-hmm. It's a parking garage. We literally just said it 20 seconds ago.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Dude, lay off the pipe, man. We're working here. It's some sort of parking garage, and he does like a fucking toe grab off the top of it.
Shred for your life, PJ!
Yeah.
And grind away! Grind away!
And you know what? This screenplay is not above either of those lines.
No.
Shred for your life. He just falls to his death.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. So it turns out this whole thing is a prank.
Because, they start laughing immediately. The rest of the kids like, yeah, we did it.
But was I the only one who was, like, super confused about, like, that he jumps down, he does the shred.
Yeah.
And then they cut.
They cut away from
it. And you don't know, like, what happened at all.
It looks terrible. It looks like he started to do the jump, and, like, that was the end of the stunt or something. So they were just like, all right, like, click and we'll move them with computers down further.
We're definitely not going to check and see how our best friend did.
It didn't look like a real
fall. When he fell from three fucking stories.
Well, yeah. I think it was just inept storytelling because the idea is, we don't want to see what it is because we want to watch the kids be surprised because it's the prank.
Yeah, yeah. Like, again, like the rest of the kids at the carnival. Yeah.
So, like, Colby and all them, like, he wipes off, like, the Hershey syrup on his arm, like, God, I'm good, damn, yeah, we're being jerks.
The fisherman runs out and, like, takes off the mask, yeah. And it's another buddy of theirs.
There's Roger, man.
This is Roger.
Who we not met. And Buck Cherry Kid is nowhere to be found. I was like, I thought he was a main character.
Maybe that guy was, like, drunk on set and they fired him or something, and that's how this other dude came to be. So they just got this other actor.
They walk around the fairgrounds, and Colby's like, who moved those mats? Those mats were supposed to... It's like, keep it down. Right? You don't want you don't want to go to jail over this. Right?
So you see what's going on, and this is what's kind of hilarious, because this dude does jump off of this parking garage on this skateboard, and he said, they say, who moved these mats? You look, it's like three of those really thin gym mats you had in high school.
Yeah. He would have still died.
Like, what are you... Come on. He's you dead. Need, like, a fucking Riggs, like, parachute mat thing to fall into, like a real crash pad.
But what he falls into is some sort of tractor and he's impaled.
He falls... This is... I mean, talk about perfect landing. He falls on, like, the pipe... Like the vertical exhaust pipe. Yeah,
it's
tractor.
Like the Candyman's death in The Rock.
Yeah.
Yes. So some carny was like, wow, all these mats here. Moves him out and parks his tractor in that spot.
That's my question: is who moved? We don't actually answer who actually moved those mats. Was it the fisherman who, by the way, later in the movie is going to be a monster?
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody. He's a monster.
He is also not only a monster, but an original character from the Ididaverse.
Does he have a name other than the fisherman?
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be... I'll just say it now.
Okay,
do it.
It's supposed to be Ben Willis, the guy who died in the Carolinas.
What the fuck the is he doing
movie.
Here?
Well...
He made a pact with the devil, I guess.
He's Jason Voorhees now. Rotting. See, that's the thing. It's like, show him, like, do a shot of the ocean, and it's like his sunken ship or something that's struck by lightning. Like, Jason lives.
Yes.
Establish it in some way. That could be the opening, and then we cut to Colorado with these kids.
I mean, yeah, we might as well just start talking about this now.
Because it's ridiculous.
Because
there's also not much to this movie.
No. So this, like... They're using this device as a twist, but like a twist in these movies is like, oh, the killer is Amber or whatever fuck. You can't just be like, this is a slasher film, but then all of a sudden, whoops, it's a secret monster movie?
Well, that's what Scream 3 kind of does, but then backs away, where it's like, oh, it's the ghost. And then it's like, no, it's not a ghost. It's just Scott Foley. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what it should be. It's like, oh, it's a monster. Oh, no, it's not a monster. It's just like some fucking
Abercrombie
mom. That
would be better. Like, do the red herring as the monster. Instead, they act like, oh, it's the sheriff or maybe the deputy. And they go back and forth with these characters.
Or Colby. Definitely Colby,
yeah,
dude.
Colby, yeah.
Prime suspect.
Colby, definitely.
So they find their friend, like, oh shit, he's dead. They go off and they start talking about it. And I think this is where the legend starts to happen, where we're sort of setting the paranormal thing, is because Roger got this hook off of eBay, which is supposedly the hook that was found in the Bermudas,
This is some sandwich wiki stuff.
You see the box that the dude from eBay like mailed it, and it's the return address is the Bahamas. So it's like it's referencing that second movie.
Can you just buy murder weapons off eBay? I mean, I haven't gone that deep in eBay.
I'm sure.
Is it more of like a dark web thing, probably?
Well, I mean, like if you're going to get serious, but a hook, you could buy.
If you're going to get serious,
my box of heroin, child pornography, and killing instruments has arrived. Thanks, Dark Web.
I am waiting for like a Jeff Bezos commercial for the Dark Web.
Oh, totally.
Definitely, dude. Amazon After Dark.
You know, Tiffany Haddish is the voice of your Dark Web.
I just
Amazon.
Love, everyone over the age of 60 is terrified of the Dark Web. It's my those are my favorite commercials. Like, do you know people are on the Dark Web right now stealing your information? Do you know that the hook that you used to kill those kids is on the Dark Web right now?
Do you know there's someone on the Dark Web right now molesting your kids on the internet?
Did you know that one of the sites on the Dark Web is known as the Silk Road? And what was the historical Silk Road. Oh, I think it was in Arabia.
Now spend $60 on this lead-lined wallet for no reason.
Yes, and buy LifeLock because the internet is a secret Muslim.
We'll pay.
Now back to NRA TV.
We pay LifeLock, where we pay people to be on the internet for you.
It's like, that's what it is. It's like people are like, I guess, Googling your name every 30 seconds on the dark web.
I guess so. Yeah. Mm. Well, man, that's dumb.
But yeah, so.
So this dude's dead.
He's dead. They buy it. Roger has bought this thing off eBay. So that's what I think. Like, this is what brings the soul or whatever.
Right. I mean, this is like eating Jason Voorhees' heart, right?
Yeah. Like, have it like, you know, the friend just died. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you drop the fishing hook in the confusion and it like magnetically gets drawn to the corpse and brings it back to life.
Or
like
this kid's just holding it and it's just like that fucking morgue doctor, right? He's staring at the hook and then he starts like licking it and like mm-hmm. he cuts his tongue and like his tongue blood like goes on the hook blade mm-hmm. and he gets possessed or something.
He inserts it into his chest vagina. And suddenly,
well, I mean, the effects budget here was not great. I don't think they had more than a bucket of blood.
It was a bucket. They blew a lot of money on that one throat cut.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
That first throat cut.
So we're now kind of realized who the cast is. It's this kid, Roger, who was playing the fisherman who bought the thing off eBay. Colby, who is Colby.
Yeah, who you should have mentioned first, by the way. But yeah.
Sorry, I apologize. Amber, who is the lead girl, who is a photographer. Zoe, who is
a musician.
Musician, because in this scene, I think Colby's like, oh, like you're going to be the next big thing on American Idol. And she's like, shut up. Because you realize later, she's like a goth punk, whatever, but you kind of don't know because it's 2006.
Well, the funny
and everything
thing is,
trash.
You've been saying the band name throughout this episode. When we see this, her band actually perform, it's kind of like a girl-led Buck Cherry.
It kind of totally is.
Yeah. It's just that it's that like mid-aughts garbage music that's like. It would just be rock and roll, like radio rock and roll,
yep,
and it was terrible.
Yep,
that's what this is.
This, Buck Cherry Jet.
Yes, Jet falls into that for sure.
A Chevelle would be right
Chevelle,
there.
Chevelle, the Darkness.
The Darkness is kind of there. I mean, the Darkness was better, but yes.
They knew they were being ridiculous, mm-hmm. at least.
And that's actually true. But
the Darkness had a hook.
Oh, well done. Nice.
And then that's it, right? That's the cat.
That's it. They run out into the woods. Their friend is dead, mm-hmm. by the way. And minutes after their friend's fucking soul is wiped off this mortal coil, they run out into the woods, start a campfire, and talk about what they're going to do. And this is the very same, like, we're making a pact to not say shit.
Here's my thing. This prank doesn't make sense. Like, who is the prank for? I guess it was for their other friends who you kind of don't see.
I think it was supposed to be no, because
for themselves. I honestly think it's just to entertain themselves.
It's to freak out the squares and startle a carny.
Here's my thing.
It's not that easy to startle a carny, by the way. Those are some fucking frigid people.
But boy, did Colby try.
I've seen it. Just like, you know, just smoking a cigarette, flicking it out.
Oh, yeah, the old hook hand making me jump off a parking garage on my skateboard. Yeah, I've seen it.
Also, it's 2006. Don't all these people have cell phones? Wouldn't they all be getting fucking, like...
No, we got flip phones.
Flip phones, but still, you'd be getting like screaming phone calls from your parents. Do you hear what happened to PJ?
Yes, that's true.
That's what this movie should have been called. Did you hear what happened to PJ?
Oh my God, that tickled me. But so they know the legend or whatever. They know sort of the events of the previous films in some way.
Sure. Yeah, we were talking about it on the Ferris wheel.
So why are they making a pact just like in the fucking first movie?
Because they know from the story what to do if you find yourself in a situation where you accidentally kill somebody.
But you also need someone there. If this prank makes any sense, it's 2006, you need someone with a DV camera that's filming. And it's like, hey, I'm PJ, and this is Hook Jump. You know what I mean? We need to do a Jackass thing.
Or get a world star in there somewhere.
Oh, nice.
He lands on the tractor.
World star!
Fucking pipe through his heart.
This is for E-Bob's world! And God.
Dude, you know, not that funny, because a lot of people died producing content for E-Bomb's world. Yes.
Their in memoriam was 2 hours long.
Well, if you turn up dead on E-Bomb's World, they just toss you over to Rotten.com.
Right. That, or Embalm World.
Oh, yikes.
Eric Siska, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, big important detail here, because I think it's just a massive continuity error later, although it does like serve as the basis for another horrendous Colby delivery. But they toss the hook in
the
lake.
The best thing in the world. Yeah.
They toss the hook like in the lake. Cut to later in the movie, like they're trying to like figure the whole thing out. And Colby has this hook, and he's like, he says something about like, and we're gonna destroy this thing once and for all. Yeah. Like it's fucking Excalibur or something. Like,
but also he throws it in the lake. It's a fucking stream. He throws it, it's like in the shallow end, it barely gets in the water. Like, come on, Colby, fucking figure it out. Also,
aren't you the jock? Where's your baseball pitching arm?
Dust it for Prince first, you know, or like rub it off for Prince before you throw it in the lake, because like you're in a murder beef here.
But why would you have to dust it off if you throw it in the lake?
But it's barely in the lake is what I'm saying. Like, oh, literally, yeah. All you need to do is just, your dog is going to smell it tomorrow and grab it.
You wouldn't need like swimming trunks to go get this. You would have to roll your pants up like a little bit just to
is
go
that
in.
Right? I didn't even notice.
No, it barely, like, the shallowest part of this stream, like blip, it's just there. It's exactly, it's on the rocky part. Yeah,
it's where the minnows are. It's not like...
The killer should be someone who stepped on it by mistake.
Like, oh, son of a bitch!
Actually, before Colby like does this piss poor pitch into the shallow end there, they do make a hilarious point because they're trying to like make sure they're covering all the bases about the prank gone wrong. And Amber's like, but Colby, what about your arm? And this dude sticks the hook in the fire to sanitize it there and just fucking cuts that arm right open. He's like committed to this bit.
But here's the thing. Why don't these kids just go to the cops immediately? Like, this isn't, I know what you did last summer, wherein we're drunk and we hit somebody. And like, that's something you would cover up because that's actually like a felony crime. Like, you can go for murder.
Right.
This was... PJ was part of a prank, and a prank went wrong.
Yeah. Right? And he shredded too hard.
Yeah, he shredded his soul right out of
PJ
his body.
PJ jumped. PJ was the one who jumped. Nobody
exactly.
made him do
he
it.
He could have looked down and seen a tractor.
Also, yeah, triple check the mattresses, PJ.
So you'd get like involuntary manslaughter.
Not
maybe.
Even that. I mean, yeah, I maybe mean, if the problem.
Listen.
You're a bunch of white kids in Colorado.
Yeah, that's exactly. The cherry on top. You're
it's
white.
It's a small town. Oh man, you're white as the fucking snow in your mountains.
You're gonna face those fucking mountain courts. You're fine.
Yet another the another one of boys being boys. Click.
Exactly. Mountain justice.
You're citing the Supreme Court decision of boys will be boys
under the 2003 Raylan Givens Act. You can all that's be put in the slammer.
Oh my lord. I but thought that was a stand your ground law.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is barely a crime if you just come out with it immediately.
Totally.
And just be like, look, yeah, this happened. It was a prank. We watched, you know what I mean? Like, Johnny Knoxville would be on trial the next day.
Exactly right. Yeah, no, and blame it on Jackass.
Oh, yeah, just say that they made you do it.
Wee Man gets executed.
Oh, my God. I'm Steve-O, and this is Lethal Injection.
Oh man, Wee Man's dead. Holy shit, that really worked.
So we cut to 1 year later, as these movies usually do. Or that first one does, at least. The second one does not.
Yeah, it's 1 year later.
So it's 2004? No, 2007.
Now I guess it's technically 2007.
Nice, all right.
We have Colby. There's like a party that's going on being thrown by Lance.
No, it's not. I don't know whose party it is.
It's just a day party. I think it's
We're doing a lot of day drinking, by the way, in somebody's farm. There's a bunch of silos all over the
place. Somebody thought, one thing about like the cut to the year later and a lot of the cinematography of this film, somebody thought that chairlifts were scary. And I don't know who that was, because there's just so many shots of eerie, empty chairlifts in the summer.
Well, because there's something that's kind of inherently terrifying about an off-season, you know, resort
I
town
guess
like
so,
that.
Yeah.
It's like
also,
a ghost town.
You could get stuck up there. Haven't you seen Frozen?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
I did see that movie. I was
wondering. Oh, the music was amazing.
Let it go. We are dead. Gonna jump right off this chairlift. Isn't that what they do? Do they? Does yeah, one of
I
them
think
tries
somebody
to jump
off? Does that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one like freezes to death.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
And that's like open water, but
yeah, it's essentially open water,
in a fort, yeah. In a yeah ski.
Yeah, finding a way to make open water more boring.
You know what I would rather do than this episode is Open Water 2, where a bunch of people jump off a boat in the ocean, and then somebody forgets to put the ladder down, and everyone meets their grizzly. And by the way, there's a baby on the boat.
Oh, baby when on Steve, board.
Steve, when you originally told me the plot to that movie, I thought for like a week that you were lying to me.
No, that's what the movie is. Everyone jumped off a boat, but somebody forgot to put the ladder down.
Why didn't they just climb up the anchor chain?
There's stuff.
Yeah, there's plenty of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Plenty of stuff.
Anybody else notice that the Open Water series got rejuvenated because 47 Meters Down did really good business?
Yes.
So they made the exact same movie and called it Open Water Cage.
Oh, nice. No. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you at all.
Oh, my God. Wait, so... But 47 Meters Down was also... Because we had a little... There was like a shark-a-sance going on last year because there was also the...
Well, it's still going on. Meg's coming out later this year.
What the fuck is that?
That's that huge prehistoric shark.
Smegma? What did you call
Meg.
It?
Meg.
Oh.
Wait. Smeg. It's called Meg?
Yes.
What the fuck is that?
It's like it's the beginning of what
I'm
the
a shark. I smell something. clean me out.
My name's Meg.
What was the shark movie though? Where
my father was a Johnny Cash fan.
Blake Lively was like stuck Shallows. On the buoy. Oh, the Shallows.
Yes,
that was also part of the shark. Yeah.
We're skipping over the biggest one. Aren't they making a sequel to Deep?
Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
There's a sequel.
Oh, fucking kidding me.
I am not fucking kidding.
Oh my! My hair just went white.
Deepest bluest. My hat is like a shark's fin again.
So we're at this party, and apparently, and the other thing too, I was very confused about. So Colby is older than everybody else. He's a year older.
Yeah, because he goes and he bottoms out on some internship.
He graduates, and like he's not supposed to be at the party. And there's these other two girls who I thought were characters that are not.
Nope.
Yeah, well, because a scene starts with the two of them talking, and you're like, these must be significant people.
Because they were also on the Ferris wheel. They're part of like that crew.
Oh, they were part of the Ferris wheel crew?
Yeah, dude. Ferris wheel crew for life.
Look, Mr. White, extras can technically say two lines, and then you have to start crediting them and paying them. So you've got to work around that and figure out what to do.
So we find out that, like, Amber just graduated from high school, and she's going to go to California with Colby, and then Colby isn't supposed to be there because he's supposed to be in California, but he showed up and didn't call her,
right.
And this prompts them to break up.
It's a real scumbag move on Colby's part. Oh, I know you'd be surprised to hear that.
Unbefitting of Colby.
Because he just shows up at this party, and Amber is like, what are you doing here? Like, you're not supposed to be here for another couple weeks. He's like, yeah, I fucking bottomed out on that internship. And she's like, and you didn't call me? What's awesome, though, is like when she approaches him, Colby is talking to this other couple like on a porch.
Yeah.
And all you hear him say is just like, yeah, man, and the fucking chicks out there, like, they're just ready to go. Or like some kind of line, yeah. And then it's like, oh, Amber, what are you doing here?
And by the way, has he not spoken to her for months?
Yes.
Like, I mean, that's... This should have come up a long time ago.
Totally, Aren't you IMing at this point?
You must be IMing, absolutely.
And shouldn't she should have known what was going on via his AIM stat away messages?
Like, yeah, you know totally. I mean? As like the dashboard confessional lyrics got more and more dark.
Well, they started going to My Chemical Romance. Oh, then it really got bad.
I just had a shock here, and it's got nothing to do with anything except that we mentioned Deep Blue Sea 2, which
like
is coming out this
year. Was it static electricity?
No. Listen, the guy who directed Deep Blue Sea 2 is a dude named Darren Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Who was somehow involved in Menace to Society.
Nice.
I don't know what that is, but I was looking at his directorial credits, and in 2013... he directed a direct-to-DVD sequel called House Party, Tonight's the Night.
What?
Oh, yeah,
we got to see this.
What is anyone, original our kid cast. And or play in there or what?
I need a minimum of a kid.
I know.
Whoa.
No.
Not even the kid?
Dude, are you fucking with me right now? No yeah, kid, no play?
Shouldn't they be the parents? And it's like, oh, yeah. I sure hope our kids don't... throw a house party as we're going away.
Did you hear exactly. they're LeBron James is behind this new house party?
I think that sounds what? Right. Yeah, there was something.
He's like producing a reboot or something. Yeah.
Wasn't he supposed to do that Space Jam 2?
For some reason, Space Jam 2 is more fraught than like fucking The Day the Clown Cried. I have no idea why. Like, just fucking make a movie, man. Like, just make Space Jam 2. It's easy to do, it seems.
Anyway, sorry to derail us. Also, about this party, you have all these fucking white people just like dancing around this farm. It's like kind of being filmed at the golden hour. If a fucking Clydesdale clomped through the frame, it would be a Budweiser commercial. I mean, it is just the most commercially like pretty people looking shit.
There's a lot of Canada Dry at this party. I noticed, like, I'm not kidding you, like 12 2 liters of Canada Dry on a table.
Wow. It's Utah. That's what's going
on. It's just water and Canada Dry. That's all they're allowed to drink.
I think what it was, Chris, was it was an accident in the prop department because they were using ginger ale to double for all the beer. And then someone just left the Canada Dry on a table and it got in the shot.
I just think everybody had, you know, a tummy ache and they just had to like dole it out. They knew what they were doing.
Amber is upset they break up. She goes home to go to sleep. Her parents are away. It's kind of a dropped line. You don't realize that until like kind of halfway through the movie. It's like that her parents aren't home this whole movie, which is less people you have to pay, which is nice. And she goes to sleep in this big house. She has a nightmare. She wakes up, and her phone, her flip phone, has 50 missed messages.
Whoa. 50 missed messages.
And not from Colby either.
No, and they just all say, I know what you did last summer.
And man, 50 text messages on a flip phone, that takes fucking forever.
In 2006, this isn't where you have your group texts.
No, like
this is one-on-one shit.
That phone was filled.
Like, I'm surprised it wasn't on fire, 50 text messages. Could it handle that much, that many megs of text messages?
Here's the thing that's annoying about this sequence. So she has this nightmare, like Steve said, and she wakes up and she goes downstairs. This is a massive house, by the way.
By the way, the monster got a cell phone at some point and was able to text this.
Yes. Yeah. He went into a fucking, you know, bodega. He bought a burner. Somehow found this woman's phone number.
He was doing scratch off, smoking a cigarette, doing that text over and over again, 50 times.
Because you can't even copy and paste. You have to always, and you have to like do that thing where it's like, what do you call it? Key type.
T9.
T9. So you do.
Jesus.
You hit 4 3 times to get the I.
I forgot about that.
That takes fucking forever.
So he's truly a madman, and he's sitting there doing it, doing the scratch offs. He takes off his thumbnail and uses it as a scratcher because he's a undead monster.
Actually, I'm going to want to pay as you go one.
Give me some of that Spanish fly too. Yeah, I'm a monster.
Does this synthetic marijuana work or what?
I mean, I can't get any crazier. So
yeah, I can't get any more brain dead.
Not the Trojans, the Rough Riders, if you would please, ma'am. Oh,
man. You have any bath salts? I'm going to start that.
Yeah, I'm going to play it safe, too. Give me a bottle of Cuddy Sark.
Depending on what state I'm in, let me get a couple of these mini airline bottles of whiskey, which only alcoholics buy. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Yeah, and sure, what the hell, Mega Millions.
Seen a lot of the off-brand Hostess's cakes. Do you have any of the real ones?
What do you have those in the back for the real customers?
Oh, wow. Sir, you must be a connoisseur of gas station baked goods. No, she fucking walks into this kitchen, and a jump scare in this movie is a kitchen alarm clock going off.
Oh, right.
And it's like 11:20 p.m. What the fuck is that?
Who is it set for? Why was it there?
It's the day before Thanksgiving. Got to prep. Got to put it in the oven early.
It's not the day before Thanksgiving. Well, it's July.
You got to get all the hot dogs out. Let them defrost.
Start out defrosting these hot dogs.
All right, yeah. I'll take this 3-pack of pornography and this 3-pack of old comic books from 3 years ago. Might as well, yeah, I got stuff to read in the junkyard where I live.
They made Ren and Stimpy comic books? Wow.
I was dead for a while.
The hook brings him back. Is that what we're dealing with here? Like,
we don't know.
Nobody
don't
know. Knows.
I mean, like, we know.
We don't. You know what? We'll never know.
eBay. Like, was he a watcher on the eBay transaction? Maybe.
Right. Yeah. And Colby sniped it at the last second.
Maybe he was. It stands to reason that
I was the highest bidder.
No. I think this Bahamian zombie was fucking the one selling it, and he was like, "All right, whoever buys this."
But no, it doesn't make sense.
Get their address, and I'm gonna go there.
I know what you did last summer. the father dies, right? The dude that was the killer.
As does the son.
Will Benson in the second movie is Will's Benson.
There you go.
So he would have been maybe selling it down there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But I think this corpse is supposed to be the original father from the first movie.
Yeah I think so too. All right, I don't know how it doesn't make sense.
Although maybe once you die, once you and your son die, you meet up in the afterlife as zombies. and you know, you already, your son's got a place in the Bahamas. You're getting older. Let's go down.
It can get more tragic though, Eric, in that, like, if this is the original man, then he's around thinking, my son must be out there zombified as well, killing people. So when he hears, and he's in North Carolina, man, he's still hanging out. Now. He hears story. In Colorado there was an attack by the fishermen, and he's like, my son! He runs there, finds out it's not, gets furious, and kills everybody.
I love this. This is how this film makes sense.
Well, it takes him a year to zombie walk from North Carolina to Colorado. That's it kind of makes point. Sense.
Yeah. Well, that takes so much time,
man. It's just a coincidence.
It does, because a hitchhiking zombie, who's picking that up?
Or maybe the 4th of July music, you know, and the fireworks is what brings him back, because it's like Weekend at Bernie's. Like, he needs the sounds.
Yeah. Oh, well, Jesus Christ, man. If fireworks are what does it, he'd fucking never leave the South.
So she gets...
Anybody who plays Toby Keith.
he's trying to go to Colorado. He keeps on going in circles.
Dude, that would actually be awesome if, like, you're just... The camera, it's, like, underwater, and you just see the fishermen, like, just, like, floating at the bottom of the ocean or whatever, and it's just like... I love this bar. And then, like, the zombies start shaking, and then it stops, and then it's like, we'll put a boot in your ass. Fucking, like, electricity starts shocking.
A lot of quick cuts to Sarah Michelle Gellar dead, Jennifer Love Hewitt dead.
You could not drink at a shitty bar in the year from 2003 to 2009. Obama's first action in office was like, we're retiring. I love this bar. We're all tired of it. It just kind of rallies the wrong kind of people up.
Also, that guy's racist.
I had a nice meeting with the jukebox people.
dude, they met with Big Jukebox.
We came to a bipartisan compromise, and if you want to play Red Solo Cup by Toby Keith, you can do that for the next 3 years. And
if you like your Cassie Musgrave, you can keep her.
We are officially retiring. That's a George Bush thing. That was a Bush policy. The I love this bar policy.
The I love this bar doctrine. So she calls up.
Sorry, but I'm just picturing George W. Bush on that aircraft carrier, and instead of Mission Accomplished banner, it just says I love this bar.
We did it, everybody. We all love this bar, man.
So she calls up Zoe.
It's a booze cruise now.
Oh, man.
And she's like, you know, hey, what's going on? This crazy thing just happened. And Zoe is having, like, late night band practice. And there's something about, like, she has been pissed off at Amber because, like, she hasn't been coming to her shows. Here's the thing.
It's the same thing that happens with Sarah Michelle Gellar and Jennifer Love Hewitt. They lose touch.
Except nobody fucking went away to college. Everybody's still in high school. Except for Colby.
And it doesn't make sense because at least the first movie establishes, like, oh, you, like, she talks to whatever, Bridget Nielsen first. Bridget Nielsen?
Bridget Nielsen? She's
no,
not in that
Bridget,
movie.
Bridget Sampras.
Oh, the sister?
Yeah, whatever. The
Sonya Blade.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sonya Blade, like, oh, you haven't talked to my sister in so long.
Sampras.
Like, Sampras. So, like,
Sampras.
No, she was married to Pete Sampras.
She totally was.
But whatever. So, like, that's established. She just shows up to this thing, and she's like, oh, and, like, the first thing Zoe says is, like, oh, you come to me now.
Bridget Wilson Sampras.
Bridget Wilson Sampras. Wilson, I call it. Bridget Wilson. She winds
ooh,
up.
Wilson?
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
So, no, she goes to her, and it's my favorite reaction in the movie. You interrupt your friend who you haven't talked to, who you iced for a year. Literally no reason.
For no reason. Yeah.
And you interrupt her in the middle of the night, and she's like, the fuck? I haven't talked to you in a year. And then, like, Amber has the balls to interrupt her, like, can we not do this now? Like, when are we going to do it? What are you doing here? This is exactly this conversation would go. Can we not do this now? You don't get to set those terms, Amber.
Also, you're calling me at 11:30 at night. Fuck you. Exactly. And interrupting my band practice. Also, though,
you know, send me a MySpace message if you want to reconnect. All
right? Exactly. Put me back in your fucking top eight, bitch. No, but so she's like, the thing is, she's not. I guess she's upset about, like, I haven't heard from you, but it's more she's peeved that she hasn't been coming to these bands' concerts.
Flyers.
She's like, how many fucking flyers do I have to put on your car?
Are you fucking serious? We buried a not crime together.
And this is the thing, too, man. Like, if you're in a band or if you're in an improv group or whatever your thing is.
Yeah, I was about to bring this up.
You get the one show with each friend, mm-hmm. and then you can never be upset that they never come to another show.
That's exactly right. It's like, how many times can you be expecting someone to go see you in the fucking basement of an Italian restaurant and do 5 minutes of improv? Mm-hmm. It's just insane to be offended by that.
Yes, exactly. You just kind of understand that. Like, you just, like, you send the group email like, hey, who wants to show up? And you know no one will.
And you know also that nobody wants to do it in the fucking first place.
Exactly.
And that's a true friend. Someone who will come to your indie improv show. True friend.
Yes. It's a punch card with one square on it.
Immediately, one show, you get that free hat.
You did it.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
But then she's so pissed that she's like, oh, yeah, how many flyers do I owe you? 10? And she's like, oh, more like 20. Like, first of all,
also,
that's fucking desperate.
Also, your band sucks.
Yeah.
Let me put that first and foremost.
Chuck Cherry.
I had to listen to three of your fucking songs in this movie.
You mean Zoe and the Hawks? Was it Zoe and the Hawks? I couldn't. They only
I thought
the
you were
once.
Making that up.
No, they say the name once when she goes on at the end. And I thought it was Zoe and the Hawks. Like,
are you sure it wasn't Chuck Cherry?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't Chuck Cherry.
Well, because that would actually be perfect for, you know, like if this movie was set in, like, you know, back on a shore town, right? And it's all these, like, dudes, like, doing oysters during the day.
Oh,
and at
Chuck
night,
Cherry.
They play in Chuck Cherry.
That's brilliant.
In Utah, it's more Truck Cherry.
Yeah. Oh, guaranteed Truck Cherry.
Are you gonna cover I Love This Bar or what? Because I'm leaving if you don't cover I Love This Bar.
You know, I don't know what the name of the song is with the put a boot up your ass from the US of A, but can you play that one?
I got friends in low places.
That is Garth Brooks.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah. I think the name of that boot in your ass Toby Keith song was called like Osama Bin Lion or something. Oh, the dude sucks. So we pull a fucking piece of shit move right here. We're ripping off Halloween. All of a sudden it goes from July 1 to like dung dung July 2. Uh-huh. We're working our way up to July 4th.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? It's only July 2nd.
I've been sitting here for fucking 45 minutes.
So like Zoe gets you know, hip to the situation. They go to Colby, who's working as a lifeguard, and they broke up just yesterday, and they're like, he's like, oh, okay, we're back together, or whatever. Like, but you know, they wound up talking, and this is the best part. You know, he doesn't believe them, and he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Colby goes back to the lifeguarding tower, and uh-oh, the monster.
Now remember, everybody, this whole thing is being perpetrated by an undead presence.
Went to this public pool in the middle of the day.
Kids everywhere.
And, like, actually used water to write out, I know what you did last summer, and it's evaporating.
That would
take fucking forever, and it would be gone in 30 seconds on a hot day.
And it's constructed in, like, a perfect, like, Comic Sans font. No way.
It's a bad CGI effect is what it really is. But
well, he doesn't need to sleep, right? So
you know, people will be like, sir, you can't take a shower here.
No, it's good. I just gotta scare someone a little bit.
Also, sir, you can't be wearing this creepy rain slicker at the pool. There's kids here.
I evaporate in pure sunlight, so.
It's a free country. Obama didn't outlaw that yet.
Now, just let me write down this wet message.
I'll always know what you did last summer, colon, wet message.
Like, if Colby stubs his toe, that he never sees it. Like, that's it. That's how that shit works.
So then it's
they
like.
They go to Roger then.
Roger? I thought this was when Amber was like biking around and taking pictures.
Oh, that's okay.
And the dude finds her and slashes her bike tire without, like, she's in the middle of the fucking mountains.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, totally open space. And all of a sudden she's like, oh, my tire's been slashed. Where is the zombie hiding? I don't get it.
I don't know where he is. But the other thing is, I'm sorry, I messed up the sequence. They go to Roger first, who Roger is living and working at this fucking ski lift facility.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
He fixes the ski lifts.
Don't they interrupt him while he's using a chainsaw, yeah, and he almost cuts them? Or was that the start
Lance.
Of the movie?
That's Lance, that's, actually, later in the
they
movie.
They look the same.
They look the same.
It's
a good thing Roger dies pretty quickly.
Oh, good. Let's talk about his death.
So they go to Roger, and Roger's like, yay, man, I don't know, like, I can't believe we got away with this thing. And at some point they say, like, the reason they haven't gone to the police, they can't go to the police now, it's not just that they, like, you know, iced this, they didn't never say what happened. They also made up a fake killer that was on the loose. And I think gave, like, descriptions of a killer.
Oh, what? I totally missed that.
I missed that as well.
Did I make that up?
No, it makes sense in a real narrative that would have happened.
Yeah, but I mean, it's somebody's dropped line. It's like, oh, we can't go because we already said that there was this. We told them all about that other killer they've been looking for a year.
Oh,
now,
I had no idea.
That will get you put in jail.
Oh, you can't be doing that.
Oh, totally. That's obstruction of justice and, you know, lying to the police and whatever the fuck else. Absolutely. Also, the detail here that we should mention is that PJ, the deceased, his father is the sheriff in the town.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
So there is that. So then it's the other thing of like, ah, we fucking lied to the sheriff about his dead kid. Also, why would there be a killer? He fucking I mean, like.
No, they didn't want to take any responsibility. Everybody saw a guy fisherman. In the slicker.
Oh, they're just saying the slicker was actually a killer.
Yes.
Oh, right. Like, oh, it was an actual.
Like, he wasn't
thing.
Murdered. I was like, it's pretty obvious what happened to this
kid. The kid fell off a fucking
what
thing.
What with the tractor?
And the sheriff is like the saddest man in the universe. Like, there's a morning. They're go Amber and what's her name?
Zoe
are going out, and like he just shows up at their car and is like, how you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. I thought he was being a perv.
Man. What he says, I actually, Chris Cavett, this is great. I wrote this line down. He goes, just making my rounds at the school. I was like, rounds at the school? It's July 2nd. What are you doing, you know, melancholy fuck?
No, it's fucking, we're in the mountains. You gotta rattle the meth heads. You gotta be there at least in school parking lots at least twice.
Yeah, Steve's right. Like, they're always stealing the copper out of these schools in the summer.
But it actually does make sense that he's checking in on Amber because he's seen his deputy's shrine in the back to her.
Oh, right.
And he's a little worried. He's a little worried. You know, he knows he's a good cop, but there's something wrong.
I thought it was the deputy throughout the entire movie. I'm like, right. Here we go.
Yeah.
I guess it was too obvious.
Yeah.
Well, so we can get into the deputy. He goes up to her, too, and he's like, I think, like, he's like, oh, you know.
He's masturbating on the windshield like bad lieutenant.
I don't know what, like, they basically have a conversation like, oh, you're back in town. Oh, no, she's always been in town. I don't even know.
No, it's just kind of like.
It's just creeps.
Yeah, he's just a creep.
It's shit, like, man. Hey, you know, this, the anniversary's coming up.
Yeah,
like, some of that's going on.
Well, he says, if you, which is the dumbest, like, bad turn of phrase ever. He's just like, oh, if you ever need anything to, if you ever want to get anything off your head, come talk to me. Off your chest?
No. Oh, he says, yeah. Off your head?
Yes.
Oh, what a fucking doofus.
Weird.
Yeah.
So then, is this around the part where it's Roger's attempted suicide, but then he just gets murdered anyway?
It's amazing. It's great. Yeah, so this is basically it. So Roger is...
He's fucking drinking hard.
He's taking some pills as well.
Totally, man. Having a real fucking off-season Saturday night.
Sounds like a great way to spend an evening.
But he writes a suicide note, like, I can't take this anymore. I know what I did last summer.
I made a bad funny.
I'll always know what I did last summer kind of a situation. And he takes the hook and starts to cut open his wrist.
Yep.
And then, like, he gets a knock at the door, and it's this killer. It's like, I don't know, dude, just wait. Like,
yeah.
And also, like, it's like, oh, why is Roger scared? I'm like, all right, dude, come on.
Yeah, I was going to do this, but you can do it too. That's
awesome.
Okay.
Now I'm not even committing suicide. Sick.
Right, you get into heaven.
You get right into heaven. It's right. it's the monster policy.
Exactly. You could join Jonathan Galecki up there.
Yes.
Everyone wearing white robes.
Anytime you are killed by an undead monster, there's a loophole. You go right to heaven.
Nice.
It's nice.
That's like a large faction of people at this point as far as horror history
Wait,
is
oh,
concerned.
Oh, God. You're telling me Godzilla attacked again? That's everybody. I've got to let everybody in. Holy fucking shit.
Peter slammed that day. That'd be a good movie. Like, any, you know, any type of huge thing. Like maybe the atomic bomb goes off.
Oh my God!
Wait a minute. You're telling me he's fighting King Kong? We have to let everybody into heaven. Fuck.
All right. Hey Jerry. Yeah, I know. I told you had the day off at the gates. We got it. We need everybody down here. It's all hands on deck. Godzilla and King Kong are fighting again.
Oh man, now they're getting loose with security. They're barely looking in those bags.
And then, oh, now there's so much weed in heaven.
And then everybody who comes in over that period of time could just say, yeah, King Kong and Godzilla got me.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. There's so many people. It's hard to keep track. You were a child molester and had a heart attack on the toilet. You're like, yeah, but it was around the time of that thing.
And so many filthy suicides are just getting in.
Suddenly, like, I love this bar starts playing in heaven.
And God's like, come on, man.
Who let Toby Keith in here?
King Kong stepped on my house.
Then the devil's down there like, oh, look, that's what you wanted. I'm down here with a bunch of bad guys. I'm having a good day.
Now I'm out of business. The devil.
I love these gates.
Ooh, I love these gates.
So, pearly white, just like my fans.
He's about to commit hookicide. The monster comes in and cuts his throat wide open. This is like majority of the budget right here is his throat cut effect.
It's a pretty good throat cut.
It's not bad. It was like the only time in the movie I was like, okay.
And I was like, oh, Gore is going to, and then Gore kind of doesn't happen.
No. Yeah, no, then it goes right away.
It's this one and like the two impalings.
Yeah.
Then all the Colby, Zoe, and Amber show up, and Colby has the world's tiniest bat. And I don't know where he got it. Like, it's like a Yankee Day giveaway. It's like, it's really tiny and thin. And he's like, I'm going to get you. Because they think it's Roger for whatever reason.
Right.
Because Roger's crazy. And then they see the suicide note. And like, they're like, oh, I guess Roger just cut his own throat ear to ear. It's a suicide.
Like, what are you talking about, police department?
Because, the deputy shows up and everybody's like, oh, yep, suicide. That looks like a suicide to me.
It's a bunch of, like, they take, like, some quick statements and then everybody just goes home, no paperwork required.
And they're like, oh, it's over. But then they wind up going back to Amber's place and one of her photo collages has been cut open and it says soon on it.
Oh, right. Oh, and it's kind of hilarious because we see her room, like, beforehand and it's just all these pictures of her and Colby and, like, the good old days and whatever. And it's just a pile of paper on the floor, just all shredded.
Okay, I'm going to need a couple scissors, a glue stick.
This arts and crafts monster. What are you talking about?
It's insane.
It is so
Also, does he have
stupid.
A car? Like, he's got to have a car. How is he getting around these mountain roads?
Hey, man, how does Jason Voorhees get around the fucking woods, dude?
Yeah, but the
tunnels.
We're told tunnels. But, I mean, that's just woods. I mean, like, this is like a town. Like, there's, like Roger's up in the ski lift, I would say.
Yeah. That's
She's
true.
All the way downtown. Like he's going, oh man.
And everyone.
What time's the next bus?
Everyone would see him coming.
Yes.
Yeah.
This outfit is even more ridiculous than the other movies, too. I gotta say.
Well, here's my biggest hilarious observation about this fucking stupid monster. Did you guys notice that, like, when he's about to attack? Like, his head comes out of the coat like a turtle.
Yes,
he's right. Because he's got the big collar popped up, and the hat comes, like, right down. He looks like Spy versus Spy.
Well,
He's
like a Zelda villain. That's, like, when he's about to attack, they show you the area you have to attack.
No, but the thing is, when his head's down, like a turtle, he's in there doing the arts and crafts.
Oh, I see.
Like, all curled
his
up in there.
The slicker. He's exactly. cutting fucking photographs.
Do you have, like, a book light before the inside of a jacket?
Oh, I spilled this glitter everywhere.
Do I eat food? No, I don't eat food. I don't eat food then.
Speaking of this monster, Andrew, you told me earlier, and this might have been yesterday, so we don't know what's going on.
All right.
The guy who plays the monster played Michael Myers.
Oh, that's right. In Halloween 5.
Wow.
Only.
Ooh. Oh, jeez.
So he's not Dick Warlock?
No, he's not Dick Warlock. Dick Warlock is coming back for this new movie. Is that correct?
Whatever the original.
I think that dude's name was Nick Castle.
I thought he was called The Shape.
Yes, Eric. So then they go to confront. Is this Roger now?
No, it's Lance.
Now, oh, this is Lance. And this is so where the dude has the chainsaw.
You can't tell them apart either.
Because they're just fucking faceless white people. Yeah, so this is Lance, and this is the chainsaw scene that Eric was talking about. They have a big confrontation with him. He's like, no, I didn't kill anybody, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is my favorite line that we dropped at the party when she meets up with Lance. Lance offers her a cup, which out of nowhere, and she's like, yeah, I'll take it. I'm like,
no, not from Lance, you won't.
Not from Lance, you won't.
It's but a she's like, solo cup.
And like, basically, and it's weird because they put, like, again, she's been in the town the whole time, to my understanding. Maybe I didn't watch the movie.
No,
right.
She has not left.
And she's like, oh, what are you doing now? And he's like, yeah, I'm doing groundwork, but you probably don't find that interesting. And she does this thing like, oh, no, that's really cool. Like, it's just like, yeah, you know. So he's doing groundwork. When they find him, he's got a chainsaw. And
they have this big confrontation or whatever. And he sort of like threatens Colby. Great Colby line right here. He goes, lucky you got a chainsaw, douchebag.
Yeah.
As he's like walking away. It's a total fucking bro moment. Oh, Colby is terrible.
Colby lives it, man. Is this when does Colby... So like they have a conversation. When does Colby get... is this when he goes swimming? This is like, again, kind of like the Ryan Phillippe scene. In the first movie.
Yeah. Oh, because yeah, where Ryan Phillippe is like, you know, he's boxing or whatever.
Yeah, and then he gets run over, like he gets injured. Colby is swimming.
Yes.
And the monster is like, well, it's not July 4th yet, but I want to put a scare into Colby.
Yeah, so I'm going to like cut his Achilles tendon kind of.
Oh, that bothers
me. I don't think it's a full cut though, because this kid's like running on it later in the movie.
Yeah, he's fine. No,
he just kind of like, he kind of like hooks him in the ankle. And this is amazing because this is the first part. This is a monumental moment in this franchise.
Oh, please.
Where you see the hook man, the fisherman himself, actually go fishing. Because here's this dude in the water,
he goes
swimming.
Boy fishing.
He definitely goes boy fishing, dude. He fucking hooks this kid right in the ankle. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, here it comes. Maybe it's like a cool pool death
now,
or something.
Mountain Justice declare, you can't go boy fishing unless you got a permit.
Let me see your boy fishing license.
Oh, you know what? I just looked in the back of your truck. There's too many boys there. You're going to have to throw some of them boys back.
The little boy. Throw the little boy back. Another fisherman will get him.
Well, I don't want a membership to your pool. Do you have a day pass? A day pass for me?
He's thwarted because he can't get in. That would be awesome.
It just, and this is also sort of parallel at some point. Amber is in the ski lift for no reason. I forget what gets her in the ski lift.
This is where it's... What you're talking about is way back, because this is where she's taking photographs and shit, and her tire gets slashed, and then she's like, well, I'll just walk over to the ski lift here on the top of this mountain.
And at what point, like, so, like, and again, like, I think Colby's like, how did he get you? You're 50 feet up. How does he get? Can he fly? Does he?
Yes.
He basically, like, he just kind of scares her and, like, breaks the window with his claw and goes away.
Right, yeah.
But, like, what is he doing?
It's insane. Like, she's going down this ski lift, and, like, the window, I was like, what? What?
Where is he?
And I think that the red herring here is because she's fucking around in like the lobby of the lift, like the waiting area or whatever. And some dude comes out of nowhere like, can I help you, ma'am? And it's like this big towering white guy.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you know, I had some bike trouble. And he's like, oh, there's a storm coming. Like, I'll give you a ride down. So then when the fisherman is on top of this ski lift, everybody... I think that's supposed to be like, oh, maybe it was the operator.
Maybe it's more like a Morgan Freeman thing where like he's like, I got a new suit for you, Mr. Monster. You could do low altitude jumps on the ski lifts. That's more like it, Mr. Monster.
Didn't you get the memo, Monster?
Do you have it in black?
All right, Mr. Monster, I'll do this one time for you, but consider this my resignation. Oh my goodness gracious. So we cut to the sheriff for a little bit. There's a really weird, like, the sheriff is kind of also a red herring. And the first way they start that is like, he's walking through a parking lot and there's a huge puddle. And you're like, oh no, that kind man is going to step in that puddle. And he just walks through it, like, right like Jason Voorhees.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, and he's got like a bag of food. There's a note on his windshield. Cause like the kids think that he's doing it.
Yes. Yeah. They're like, so, oh, he's the father, blah,
right,
blah, blah.
He's out. He must be out for revenge or whatever. So, there's a note on the windshield that's like, we know what you're doing, knock it off, or we're going to tell everybody or something. And what they're actually doing, because this guy's not the killer, he's not the undead monster, what they're doing is just harassing a grieving father.
Yeah, around the anniversary of his dead son.
Oh.
And
we know what you're doing, and stop. Okay, I guess I'll stop giving food to the homeless.
I guess I'll close this soup kitchen.
My favorite scene in the entire movie is they're like, oh my God, you know, look, I think it's got to be the sheriff. It has to be the sheriff. We have to go to the deputy. And,
right.
And we'll talk to him. And like, Amber's smart enough to be like, that guy dude wants to bang me. He'll listen to anything I want to say.
Right.
So they go, the whole crew goes, and they're like, hey, deputy, we have to talk to you. And he's like, well, I'm kind of having a you guys can come on back. And like it's a cop poker party or something.
Yeah. Oh right.
They're like it's about PJ and like oh yeah you guys can come on back and like it's a cop poker party. And this is my favorite line of the entire movie. Like and then the sheriff comes out. I was like, who wants more brewskis? A, who's running police in the town if all the cops are playing poker, drinking beer,
sleepy off season resort town, dude. He doesn't know that there's a zombie on the loose.
And there's a and she goes and like the cop is, the sheriff is like, oh Amber, what are you guys doing here? And the guy behind the grill who doesn't say anything the entire movie, like, yeah, it's about your son. And he's just like flipping burgers.
What? Yeah, I totally missed that.
And he's like, what about PJ? They're like, well, we miss him and we're really sad. And they're like, okay.
Oh man, that's awesome.
Grilling it up.
they played a prank on your son and then he died and then now there's a killer outside. Jerry, how do you know all this?
Yeah, you know it. You work behind a grill, you know a couple things.
You just I get good at listening.
Monster out of Carolina come up this way.
Yeah, he was feeding the monster this whole time. He goes into the woods with a bag of burgers.
It says he leaves them like fucking Eggo waffles and Stranger Things. So there's another totally nonsensical part of this movie that it's just like, what the fuck are you thinking with this movie? Is we cut to Zoe. She's at the band's like practice space and she's taking a nap.
Oh, right.
She has a nightmare about the hook hand killer.
Sure.
Right?
And she hasn't seen yet.
She has not seen, has no idea what's going on, thinks her friend committed suicide. But so here we are having this nightmare where she's being terrorized by the hook hand fisherman. She wakes up and this couch is shredded like a dinosaur got to it. Why would this monster play games?
Isn't it like an Inception thing? There's like three levels of her being within another slash and another one.
Oh, so the shredded couch is not IRL?
I think that's the second of the five dreams she goes through.
Oh, then she hit the jump and woke up?
There's also, for some reason, this monster fucks with Lance's motorcycle that gets him part of the team.
Getting it was, keyed.
Yeah, keyed with on the tank.
I can't fit the whole catchphrase on here.
Oh, wait, I started too far over. I can't. The W's going to be weird and little now.
The summer's going to be the real problem. That's the longest of the bunch.
And you know what? Here's the thing. You want to call your movie I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer? Somebody needs to say I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer.
Exactly right. And I guess the always is referring to like now he's this undead, immortal being.
See, or it should have been the guy. It should have been the sheriff because then he's like, I'll always remember my son's death.
Yeah, right. Sure. Yeah, totally.
And also like why does... So does... Does the monster care about PJ's death or not? Like, why is he saying to Lance, you know? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because he's trying to find his son, Steve.
Oh.
It's important, okay?
Oh, he's like, he's avenging. Maybe he's doing work on behalf of the... See, here's what it should have been.
Okay.
The father is so fucking peeved. Like, let's say he finds out about the prank, right? He's so fucking peeved.
The sheriff, you mean.
Sheriff, yeah. The PJ's father.
Yeah.
Finds out about the prank.
I like where you're going with this.
He fucking does some sort of like curse, summons this dude, and now this dude's deal is he just goes to fathers who want their dead sons avenged.
That poker game was a quick cover. It was a black mass.
Yes.
They quickly like turn the table
Jerry,
over.
Jerry, turn the grill on. Some outsiders are coming.
Yeah, it's like, turn off that that monk chanting music.
I love this bar.
That's better.
Lightning outside.
I love this bar.
So they make a plan, right? Sort of getting into the end of this movie here. They make a plan. They're like, we're just going to skip town.
Great idea. No one ever does this in horror movies. Let's leave town.
Let's just leave. It's fucking genius. It has not been tried in the history of cinema.
And I perked up. I'm like totally out on this movie. Like, oh my God, they're going to skip town. What a great idea. I'm like, oh boy. I get really excited about it.
And so this is where Lance has a fucking line because they're like, we got to destroy this hook once and for all and get out of town. And he just goes, yeah, we got to like throw this in a volcano or something.
Yeah.
Wait, what? I guess you're heading to Washington State.
Yeah.
It's closest volcano, yeah. I think.
I don't know. I always loved you, Colby.
So, but Zoe is like, oh man, at the town. By the way, the town carnival has been respectfully canceled. Because, yeah, you know, well, PJ's dead. Yeah. But the talent show is still on. You know what I mean? Like, but so she's like, oh man, the talent show tonight, there's going to be agents there from LA.
No, there's not.
And I can't miss it. And then everyone's like, well, I guess we have to stay together. Nah. No.
First
of all, I packed a bag. I got 230 racks in the back of this truck. We are going out of town.
And this is a lesson from horror cinema man, just like that Michael Keaton, Jack Frost. If your band has an opportunity to do something and something else is like butting up against it, yeah, don't play that show.
Yes, exactly.
Because you're going to be dead.
More than likely, it's Jerry saying he's a guy from L.A.
Exactly.
Oh, right. That'd be great.
You think that was the monster? Like, oh, shit, they're trying to leave town. Yes, ma'am, I'm with CAA. I'm really interested in Zoe and the Hawks.
Mr. Monster from William Morris.
Mr. Monster.
Wait, hold on. Blah, blah. Oh, I'm sorry, I just threw up a bunch of live crabs.
Okay, Mr. Monster, what's your first name?
I don't know.
Beast. Beast Monster.
I'm Mr. Beast Monster.
But I'm in the music industry, so my nickname is Mr. Beats Monster.
Now, does your cafeteria take fingers as currency for coffee?
See, that's the thing. It's like him going around buying food is what would get him. They'd pinch him for like a stolen credit card or something.
I think what he's doing, by the way, is just kind of cooling it, like all smelly monsters, is just cooling his heels all day in the local public library.
Yeah.
No, like the bye-bye man.
Exactly. He's running a credit card scam. He's got like mouths on all the ATM machines.
They let you use the internet in here. You know?
They sure do.
So she's like, I'm going to play this show. So they're like, all right, listen, you will play your song and then we're getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And so now this is like the third and no, it's not. It's the like third, second to last musical number.
Yes.
So like they go out, they play this song in its entirety.
Ugh. It looks like, by the way, this party looks, this talent show looks like the fucking show from Green Room. Like, you know what
it
I
does.
Mean? Like, this is where it is. Like, Patrick Stewart's going to come out and talk about who's going to get their laces and who's not.
Exactly. And then, funny enough, dude, a band that could have played that club comes on next. And do you catch this? It's like this fucking rap rock duo. Oh, fuck, that sucks.
Yeah, sure.
And the audience is going apeshit. Mm-hmm. They're going crazier for them than they are Zoe and the Hawks. I think Mr. Beast Monster's going to sign these guys.
There are four, not three, not two. There are four huge American flags behind Zoe and the Hawks.
I love this bar.
Yeah, we do.
Well, also, now it is July 4th. So I think that, because I thought the same thing. Yeah, I was like, look at those fucking flags.
Much.
But it's July 4th. I mean, what are you going
to
do?
But also, like, after the show, Amber goes up to Zoe in the dressing room. She's like, oh my God, you did so great. And she's like, yeah, and the agent from LA said he was interested in talking to me. I'm like, you're Zoe. You look like Zoe. Why would there be an agent from LA in this mountain town talent show on 4th of July? You're being sold, best case scenario, being sold a bill of goods.
And then, like, you know, kind of worst case scenario. Well, I guess worst case scenario is you're talking to Mr. Beast Monster. But I guess, like, then second worst case scenario, secret pornographer.
Exactly. Yes, oh, cool. Yes. Yeah, yeah. You just
undercover pornographer.
You're about to be taken.
Yeah, then that's third worst scenario.
Yeah, I would rather Beast Monster just cook me at that point.
Yes, definitely.
Which does happen here.
Actually, oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. There's another musical number we get a bit of before Zoe and the Hawks, and it's the most pathetic thing ever. It's a singer-songwriter dude sitting on a stool singing a song that I think is just called Hangover in the Morning. Ooh, terrible.
That sounds about right.
I related to that.
Great detail here. So Colby, after his swimming accident, is just on crutches.
Yes.
And because he's the Ryan Phillippe character, he's got to be the functioning teen alcoholic.
Yep.
And so, dude, I've never seen this. Someone drunk on crutches? Woo!
Well, someone dropped, so like basically like Lance and Amber start getting together, and Colby's like, "Fuck this," you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we should have left town. I'm just gonna get drunk all day. I'll see you guys at the talent show.
He's got the belt buckle that also has the secret booze compartment in it.
The best part of this movie, and it happens a couple times. We were trying to make flip phone headsets work.
Oh, yes.
Because Colby is drunk in a bar by himself. It gets closed. I don't know. He's just drinking vodka.
I think it's supposed to be like the ski resort.
And they call him, and he wakes up, and he's got his headset on. And he's like, yeah, what's going on, huh?
You got Colby. Go for Colby.
If I'm going to get blackout drunk, I better have my headset on. It's a lot easier to deal with than that flip phone.
Colby's being professional.
It's like Always Sunny. It's like, oh, I can gesture with my hands now. It's great. My hands are free. But so this is when Zoe gets it. I have a delicate question to ask the group because
which group?
This group.
Okay. Not the wayward teens.
Not the wayward teens, and I can't hear the audience yet. We're working on the technology where you guys can chime in the middle of the show.
Actually, I can hear them.
Eric's crazy.
Podcaster medium.
So they wind up. They're. It's very much like the first movie where
hold on 1 second. Shut up. Gone.
Oh, he's the pod whisperer.
God help us.
They wind up going, the guy chases Zoe up to the rafters.
Right.
And
much like Sarah Michelle's death, I think.
He hooks her.
Yes.
Where does he hook her? Because I couldn't tell where this hook was going. It seemed like it was a very uncomfortable.
The aim is disgusting. But the reality is supposed to be the gut, I guess.
Yes, I think you're looking for a crotch shot, but when she gets like gutted and then tossed off the balcony.
Okay.
When she's laying on the ground, it's clear there's like a wound on the abdomen.
Okay, all right.
Okay, the audience is saying, the gut, what is your problem?
Well, because I was disgusted, but I was like, whoa, are we doing this in this movie?
To gross Steve's credit, he does like underhand it.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
And you're like, what? Yeah. But it's immediately, fire is immediately put out.
Your question is entirely legitimate. You're just gross for asking.
I'm being told hashtag gross Steve.
Oh, man. Now it's going to happen.
Fucking podcast medium.
Say bye-bye to Menchie's.
So then they find her, Amber, and which one's this? Lance.
The
two surviving friends. And they run up and like, you know, she gets on top of her. And so now they're both like covered in blood.
Yes.
So the sheriff pops out. And this is kind of funny because he's just like, he's looking around and like the hook hand dude like comes out and just immediately gets him and ganks him in the shoulder and pulls him away. And this is another red herring because it's like, did you see him die?
Oh, yeah.
The dude is definitely dead, as it turns out. We never like see his body or anything, I don't think.
Yeah.
But he's not this fucking zombie.
No, you're right. They don't actually show him die on screen. Then the next is Colby. Colby, by the way. Again, thinks he's dealing with a human person. He's fighting he's running away in some kitchen. He's drunk.
Yeah, but then he's magically not drunk. It's a fucking movie pet peeve of mine.
He stabs this guy in the back of the neck of the head.
Yeah.
And he goes down, and then Colby runs away. Like, again, this is the horror movie thing. If you get the guy, you keep going until the head is off.
Yeah,
like,
cut that head off.
Mm-hmm.
You got to destroy the brain or cut the head off.
Yeah, like, exactly. Take the head and run with it. Like, that's the next
one. You're in a kitchen, dude. Start cooking.
Exactly.
Cook it.
Great idea.
Because Colby leaves the butcher knife in him and runs away. And now his next move is he's got a rolling pin.
Yes, it goes to rolling pin, which is quite hysterical. It's like a fucking Andy Cap cartoon.
This is when he actually gets fish hooked in the mouth.
Yes, and very unbelievably pulled through the porthole of a swinging door.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Pretty brutal. Hilarious move right here. So now Amber and Lance are running through this locker room or some shit.
I don't know why.
They're hiding in the shadows. You guys catch this? This is the dumbest thing in this movie, I think. They're hiding in the shadows, and it's like, all right, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. A fucking CGI spider comes out of nowhere on like Lance's shoulder and then forces Amber to go like, ha! And she's like swats the spider off, and the monster's like, what was that? Come on with a CGI spider.
Are you messing with my bud Spidey?
Well, the spider guy had to cancel the day before.
Oh, I see.
Guy.
So then hilariously, Colby is found in a dumpster.
Sure.
Fitting end for this character.
Then the sheriff, the deputy stops everybody with a shotgun. And you're like, oh, this is the part where he reveals himself.
Right.
And he's like, you guys have to get in my car. You have to get in my car. And then when you get in the car, Zoe's in the car for some reason. You're like, oh, what?
Yeah.
And then he, of course, this is when we finally realize that it is not the deputy, but a monster.
Yep.
And he ganks him and throws this guy into a forklift.
Yeah, he gets impaled on a forklift. Not half bad.
But we do get a, for no reason, Michael Myers look to the side thing.
Oh, did? Oh, yeah, I didn't catch that.
He does a very, like, a crooked head. Like,
oh, that's fucking stupid.
But now you realize, like, what's going on with this guy? And I think his, what happens, his hat blows off or something.
Well, he gets blasted with a shotgun a bunch of times.
That's right. And he keeps moving, and then you're like, something's off with this monster.
Right. The kids get in the truck, and Amber backs him over.
Right.
And then he starts getting up, and they're like, what the fuck? And it's because he was just hit with this car. He stands up, and the hat falls off. And you can see it from far away. He looks like fucking Joel Edgerton in Bright. Yeah. Like, what is with this like grayish purple head? What am I looking at?
I think
at
it's supposed
here?
To be partially rotted.
Yeah, well then that's that, like this is how they lazily reveal this. Like this thing just stands up and it's like what? It actually looks like Jason in the end of part 7 when the psychic girl rips the mask off and he looks like a lizard person.
Yes.
Well, because all of the other we were talking about like when his eyes are revealed for like a minute, they've been doing this thing throughout the movie where they'll cut to like a bunch of faces of people it could have been.
Oh yeah.
And then like just and now it's just like
that's really dumb.
It's a goblin.
You know what it also looks like is the talking zombie from Day of the Dead.
Yes, yeah, Bob or whatever his name was, or
whatever it is. Bub. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He winds up. But the thing is, I guess he's self-conscious because he puts his hat back on. Like,
well, it's like Jason putting the hockey mask back on. You know, but they don't want to look like creatures.
At this point, he looks cooler without the hat. The hat is kind of mostly silly.
Yes, it definitely is.
So
they're
like,
also
keep
doing
the hat off, and he's got now you just got a murderous monster. It looks like fucking Robert De Niro and Mary Shelley's Frankenstein a little bit.
Well, second time that film's come up in the last few weeks, and it's terrible.
Doesn't he get like cheesy red eyes too?
Yes, the eyes do change color, and that signifies like a hell demon. I think.
Are we talking about De Niro, or are we talking about this
guy? It was like just De Niro eating dinner at Tribeca Grill one night. His fucking eyeballs turn red. So, you know, a great move here also is this monster pulls the door off of, they get in like there's another forklift thing, I think, and Amber gets inside it. The monster pulls the door right off.
But she's already discovered his weakness, which she has the original hook.
Oh, right.
And she stabs him, but then he goes, roar! And he makes raptor noises.
He does, and like tar starts coming out of
and
him.
It's like, and the weird thing is though, like, so the hook, he had to go buy a hook, I guess. He had to go to Home Depot on one of his many runs.
I don't think he can go out in public, man. That's another eBay or Amazon or something.
Well, you know, if the look of this disguise is kind of like a Ninja Turtle when they try to mix amongst man, right? The hat, the trench coat type of thing. Maybe he did go to Dick's Sporting Goods.
I need the 2x4 up there. Can I get some help? Can I get some help here?
Pushing the orange staircase over to
it. Oh, and I got all this furniture. Oh, you give me a ticket and then I get the whole thing later? Okay.
Well, right. Sir, you know, you're over 21, obviously. Are you sure you don't want a bunch of guns? Because I know we just raised it for 20 to 21.
You're
letting you know, you could still buy all the guns you want.
You're asking for a 2x4, but look at all these assault rifles here at Home Depot.
Wait a minute. You're telling me I can put 2 turkeys into this refrigerator?
Yeah, but you know, you could also put 2 guns into that refrigerator.
Yeah, you can get all the sporting goods you want. A basketball, a football, an assault rifle,
hockey stick,
shotguns.
There's a great line somewhere around here when they start stabbing this creature where I think it's Lance is like, what's all that black shit?
But yeah, he does rip the door off because she's in like this. It's a thresher we got.
You're right. Oh, of course. This is the end of the movie. Here's this thresher.
He kind of almost kills Lance like 16 times. Lance should pretty much be dead.
Yeah, he goes down for the count. He gets like a stab in the leg, goes down for the count.
And he's about to get Lance the last time, and she runs out with the hook and puts it right in the
noggin. Hook to the brain, dude.
And he, again, more raptor noises. Then she gets in the thresher, and then she's like, the secret dies here or something.
Something, something, and then pushes him into the thresher like fucking Steve Buscemi.
He turns to jelly. Like, it's pretty good.
It's not bad. But also, like, I thought the whole thing was he's only affected by the hook.
But I guess because the hook was in the head.
Oh, he's weakened.
Yeah.
Oh. Maybe. Did the hook go into that thresher? Because that'll break that thing.
Yeah, that's true. The thresher will get it.
I think it goes feet first, possibly. Very, very, you know, careful about it.
We cut to a magical 1 year later. Ooh, so now it's 2008.
The election's ramping up.
Exactly. Things are really heated in this country. Still the same two wars are farting around.
Though. These bitter people clinging to their Toby Keith. And, it's a big scandal.
And she is like Amber.
Yeah, we will put a boot in your ass. I love that song. Remember me? I was going to be vice president.
And we can say, yes, we can get rid of Toby Keith.
That's the fucking change I was voting for, man. I don't know about anybody else. Just eradicating Toby Keith.
If you want to buy a Toby Keith album, that is your business, but you need to go through the background check.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. He is not a Muslim just because he wants to get rid of Toby Keith. That is, ma'am, don't bring that to my campaign.
I can see Toby Keith from my house.
Yeah, you can, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah!
Sharing property! So, whatever, man. Amber's driving back to Colorado, or she's going from Colorado to L.A.
You know where she is? She's in Utah.
You better believe it. And magically, a tire blows out, and it's not just like a blowout. It's a fucking slice blowout.
She is using her flip phone headset.
You better believe it. I think she just stole it from, Colby won't need this anymore.
It's pretty expensive.
It's barely used. He just got it.
It's an expensive item.
And so, yeah, she breaks down. She's talking with Lance on the phone. Uh-huh. And it's like, can't wait to see you, babe, blah, 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 all that shit. Yeah. So they've been fucking for a year. That's fantastic. And then she's like, geez, I don't know how this tire could have gotten slashed. And he's like, well, I don't know, babe. Is there anyone around to help you? And she's like, nope, desert.
Oh, no, yes, there is. There's a police car behind me. Anton Chigurh?
Now, and then we end with like the camera is like going around and around and around. And like on the final 360, you see the hook man behind her cut to black, right? Cooler thing would have been because where she is and where they're filming, there's a huge hill and the camera's going around her like 360, like ramping up, like when is it going to come out? If they just end, like they stop and she's like, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. Up on the hill, you see in the distance the hook man.
That would be something
way better than like this dude is just right there and he's like, rawr!
Well, that's that again mimicking the end of the first movie when he jumps to the mirror for no reason.
Fucking shower, man. That's a dumb scare.
But this is also because the beginning. Beginning the over the credits, you get like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre type, type thing, and this is essentially like the kind of the ending of the first Texas Chainsaw, that 360 when he's doing. The
yes, of course, thing. Yeah. We cut to black, and then that's the end of this fucking putrid movie. Would anybody recommend this?
No. I mean, like, we haven't talked about how inept this movie looks.
Yeah,
that there is no engaging performance anywhere to be found. Like, at least get like. Not Michael Rooker, but like someone to play the sheriff.
Just you know what I mean?
Anybody.
Tom Atkins.
You know how deep the bench of people who were on Deep Space Nine was? Get any of those dudes. Get Michael Dorn. Get fucking Rene Abajon. Get fucking the guy. Get goddamn
Jake Sisto.
Get Jake Sisko. Anybody.
No, it's Chris Cabin.
Oh God, no! It's like shitty sepia. Like that's there's this weird look to this movie that was. It really made it difficult to get it.
Yeah, the color correction is just a total failure.
And I mean, it's an empty movie. Like you know exactly what's going to happen from the beginning, other than the monster.
Yeah, kind of a surprise with the monster.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I will say no as well. This was terrible, and thank you, Daryl, for destroying our afternoon by watching.
It really ruined my Tuesday morning. Yeah, this is a total not recommend. This twist is fucking stupid. Like, it has no business being in this movie. If you want to make it about the legend of the whatever the fuck, that is from the jump. That is what this movie is about.
And it's a better movie if you do that.
Sure, why not? Because then it's just a, you know, any old Jason ripoff, and who cares? I'd watch that.
Sure.
But yes, like two stuff we've said, like incompetently made, you need to get anybody to play that sheriff. Or the young guy, what the fuck is, what's his face from Dead Man on Campus and Freddy vs. Jason?
Oh, Lachlan Monroe?
What the fuck was Lachlan Monroe doing? He should be in this movie. He should have made the DVD
cover. He was managing a 7-Eleven. Get off his back, will you?
I mean, I don't know what that dude's up to these days, but you can get that guy.
Let me get a car charger as well. I don't want my phone to die on the road. I'm a monster.
Oh, you got one of those cool flip-flown headsets. I'll take one of those, too.
Coca-Cola Slurpee.
Right away, sir.
The my future is today.
Right away, sir. Now, my name is Assistant Lachlan Monroe. Just remember the good service you got here today at 7-Eleven. Thank you.
That's I'll Always Know What You Did Last Summer from 2006, directed by Sylvain White. Thank you, Daryl, for ruining our week with this movie. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com.
Wait a second. I'm just being handed something from the newsroom.
Oh, shit.
We really have to tell him to stop bringing the letters in while we're doing this.
I know. Chris Cabin, this is breaking world news. Boop, 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 boop. Okay. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/WeHateMovies, and apparently we have a new episode. That's what the breaking news is.
Oh,
that's right.
Okay.
Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
That's correct.
Ghost Rider 2, excuse me.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
Ghost Rider 2.
Yes.
T-O-O. We're both Ghost Riders now.
It's on Patreon, and it's at that $5 level where you also get that a month. You get a new full episode a month, and Animation Damnation, where, yes, it's like this show, but about cartoons. And we did, Mortal Kombat, The Journey Begins is coming up for that.
A direct-to-VHS movie that we did, the 40-minute whatever.
Yeah, but if you contribute at this level, the newsroom is telling me, you also get our episodes on Man of Steel, Bright, 19, it's going to be 19 Animation Damnations, unlocked instantly, access to the back archive. And if you want to step it up to the $8 level, commentary tracks up the wazoo coming out soon. Cloverfield Paradoxmentary.
Oh, yeah. What a fucking
there's a lot of
shite
stuff
show.
On that Patreon.
Totally.
Oh, and the star. Wait.
Jeff Daniels, stop giving him stuff.
Oh, my God. Yes, I'm going to. God damn, I wish I could do a huge newsroom parody of like something important.
You get
happening.
Dev Patel in there. Is what I mean.
Well, our nation is mourning today because there is also Star Trek The Nexus podcast where we talk about an episode of the original series and the next generation in each episode, and we're going through them at the $8 level. You get 19 of those suckers
there's
coming
so
out this month.
There's a lot of content on that Patreon.
You could say there's a lot of content on that Patreon. Absolutely. At WHM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook.com/WeHateMovies. Right into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. What is going on as this so far just a wretched undertaking of a listener request month rolls on? What do we got next?
It's not
going
to get any better.
What do we got?
It's we are going back to the Ghosts Can't Do It director for
John
Derek and Bo Derek as well for Tarzan the Ape Man. From 1980, God knows.
And it's about long.
Is it? How long is
it? It's pretty long.
Oh, my God. Well, it's about a horny ape named Tarzan.
A horny ape man.
Is there bestiality in this movie?
There better be.
Look, I'm not going to tell you guys anything until you see it.
All right, fair enough. So we'll keep it spoiler-free until we ruin ourselves next week. So until then, with Tarzan the Ape Man, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Happy 4th of July, babe.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.